Today's date is June 25th, 2006, and it's the third Sunday after Pentecost.
A good part to start with the gospel that our Lord was talking about today, about eating with sinners and our job, which is to go out there and convert unbelievers, and also to admonish our Catholic brothers who are in mortal sin, especially in that area, and rebuke them and tell them to come back so we may be able to save them. But the idea, a good place for all of us to start with this gospel, and our Lord's putting down really the self-righteous Pharisees who, let's say you are living a good Catholic life, where God did give you the grace to forgive you, and you accepted His commandments, and you came into His church, and you become very good, but then you become arrogant and condescending because you're so pure and holy now that you don't want to be with sinners. Well, that's not Catholic at all. That's a mortal sin in itself, because you're not having compassion and mercy on sinners, which is our number one job as Catholics, is to go out and convert sinners. And if you don't do that, it's like the guy who hides his groat under the dirt and doesn't try to go out and convert people and convert sinners. And you actually, if he's condescending to them and he's arrogant towards them, that's a mortal sin in itself. So you're not a good Catholic if you're behaving like that. But the point I want to start out with and to show why that's so is, first of all of us were born in original sin. So we were all sinners. St. John says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We are liars. Every one of us, even Mary, who had no sin, needed God to go before her to prevent her from falling into sin. So the whole point is this. We look back at ourselves. If God didn't go before us and have mercy on each and every one of us when we were in reprobation, we'd never be saved. So God looked upon us when we were dirty and filthy and in rags and sinning like pigs, especially myself, who not only had... I had many mortal sins in my life out there. If God didn't go before me and have mercy on me, where am I? What would it be like if I now, because God brought me to where I am today, and I look back at somebody who's living like I was 20 years ago when I was bad, and I disdain that person. I say, look at that pig, that slob. Look at him. Who do you think you are? And I'm condescending towards him. I don't even want to be around him to try to help him. That's what I'm condemning myself. God said, you arrogant, self-righteous bum. I forgave you, and I went forward before you to forgive you when you were living like that, and now you don't want to go out and do the same for the other sinners. So the job we have, and I'll tell you, if we don't do this job, we're not going to save our own souls. Because to save our own souls, we have to get right with God, and that includes obeying all of His commandments and not sinning no more, which we absolutely can do, and we have done, and God wants you to never sin anymore. That's his goal. But then, at the same time, He wants us to go out and convert sinners who are like us and bring them into the church. That is our job as Catholics. And without doing that, you're committing a mortal sin, a lack of charity, hatred towards God's creatures, and a disdain of God's mercy. That's a mortal sin in itself. So what I'm saying here is, if Catholics don't have the attitude that one of our main jobs, besides giving glory to God and obeying His commandments, is to go out and convert sinners. Now, when you think about this modern theology in which Jews and pagans and Muslims are all saved, and this bastard JP2 that goes around telling people, oh, human beings, you're so great. Your dignity is so great before God. You're so good. There's very few bad people. Never even hardly list them. Maybe two or three bad people in the whole world. All humans are good. He's lying to them. Yeah. He's telling them they're not really sinners that are worthy of hell. He's telling them you can all go to heaven. It doesn't matter what God you believe in. So of course, this is the most diabolical of all, because what he did is he created a world in which He's giving these sinners the illusion they're not under sin, and therefore the whole obligation to go out and convert sinners is destroyed. Because if you do that now, they say you're uncharitable. You're being brutal or tyrannical. How dare you be so judgmental to these people? Well, actually, you're really being merciful to them, and you're giving them the only hope of salvation. John Paul II, the Vatican II Church, has lied to these people. He's told the whole world that forget original sin. Even if you have it, God will get rid of it without believing in Jesus. You don't got to be Catholic. You don't got to be baptized. You can be a Buddhist, a Jew, a Talmud, a Jew, a Muslim, a Satan. You're all going to go to heaven because you all worship God in our own way. What a lie that is. What a horrible thing that is. What a way to get rid of the obligation of the Catholic to go out and convert the sinner. But the thing is, with us Catholics who are here, we have to always keep in our mind so we do not become arrogant, high-minded, and proud and think like the self-righteous Pharisee who said, look at me, Lord, how clean I am, and look at that dirty pig in the back. I don't want nothing to do with him. You see? If we ever become like that, woe to us, because that's like the prodigal son who didn't want to welcome back his brother. He finally listened to the father. But to me, that's the worst type of sin. God looks at that sin in the self-righteous Pharisee, and he says, guess what? You are more dirty, more disgusting, more sinful than any fornicator, and I don't care what type of fornications he did in the world, harlots and whores, I don't care what kind of sins they commit, he says, you are infinitely worse than them. You are grossly worse than them. Because that's the type of sin Lucifer committed in the pride of his mind, which is really placing himself as God above people, that, and he's forgetting all the great graces and mercies that God has given him to make him the way he is. And so God looks at that, and he abhors that, I'm convinced, the most, more than anything. Okay, so what we're saying here is, as Catholics, our job is always to remember where we are, were, and where we are, and then if it by for the grace of God, we would have been the same dirty, rotten sinners we were before. So God is merciful. He wants to go out there and convert people. He loves all men. He wants all men to be saved. We know they aren't saved, but he wants them all to be saved. All right, and that's why Jesus said, what man who doesn't lose his sheep is not going to go out and try to find it. You people are okay. You're Catholics. You're good Catholics. You're in the church. Now it's our job to go out and convert sinners. Now the first thing that we have to do is give them the faith, because without the faith, they got nothing. The first sins we have to be concerned about, in which these people are really in trouble with, is they don't got the Catholic faith, because it's been dead for, it's not dead, it's on earth, but with a few, even if there's no man who's Catholic on earth, the faith is still there. But when you don't have the Catholic faith, you can't really truly live a moral life totally. You're going to be committing some types of sins, and even in the moral realm. So you're going to be under the Romans 1 curse. So the Catholic faith is the first thing we got to give these people. But the point I want to make during this is, be very careful when we're going out there and converting sinners to not be a self-righteous Pharisee. To not be condescending. To not look at the person and club them over the head and be too brutal in your judgment towards them. If you see, I say this many times, if you, we're going to go out there, like when the Jesuits and the Franciscans had to come over and convert the Indians, they were naked savages. They couldn't first go out there and club them over the head about nakedness. First they had to give them the faith. And only when they converted, then they have to, when you start to convert and become a catechumen, then we have every right to them, but it gets strict now. We're going to get into that later. So we're talking about two classes of people here. Three classes particularly, but it's really only two. You could say catechumen is a middle, is part of the Catholic class. Because you have Catholics and you have catechumens that are subjecting themselves to Holy Church. They're under strict rules. There's no question about that. They have to be dealt with stricter. They have to be under strict rules. That's why St. Paul says your brother who's doing these types of sins, don't even eat with them. But a pagan, be a little bit more patient with them, because they're not in the church yet. They're not under they don't know the yoke of God. They're not in it yet. You can be more patient with them. We're talking, so we're not talking about catechumens and Catholics. We're particularly talking about the class of people who are non-Catholics. They don't know the Catholic faith. They're committing all types of sins, yes, but it's our job to go out there and get them where they are. Well, the point is, you can go up and see someone, because everyone's dressing in modest now. It's just the way of the world. It's disgusting, yes, it's horrible. But you don't want to go up to that person and say, you dirty harlot, you whore, you pig slob, disgusting slut. That's the end of it. What is that all about? Yeah. You think you're going to convert a girl or a woman by saying that to her, even though she is all disgusting things. Now, sometimes, and I'll say this, if the woman becomes very obstinate, if she becomes very arrogant, if she's flaunting her piggery, then you can raise it up.
Yeah, right.
But that is no excuse to go up to your average person who is dressed like that and so useful. Yes, it is bad. Yeah. But that's not the way you convert people. You go up to them, you first bring them the faith. And you say, by the way, it's my duty to tell you, you know, God really doesn't appreciate the way you're dressed. Now, you might not know it, and I understand you grew up that way, but I'm here to tell you that when you show your flesh like that, that's lust. It shows lust. It's bringing lust devils. That's the way you talk to them, nicely. And you're loving them. You're not hating them. There's a thing, too. When you go up to people and you start blasting them like that, that's a condescending arrogance on your part. You're looking at them, look how much better I am than you, you dirty pig. God doesn't even do that to us. He picked us up when we were wallowing in the mud. How dare us if we go there and come across with that attitude? Because that's not God. That's not the Catholic God. You're going to go there and you've got to tell those people nicely what they need to do. If she starts getting nasty and blaspheming, you can raise it up then. And you can still tell her, but that's the idea where it says, let not your words be over harsh. That's because that's not true charity. Now, you may be true when you're saying these things about her, but you can be over harsh with people. And the first thing is, you got to look at that person where they don't have the faith. They don't know. Yes, they're in damnation. Yes, they're lost. And yes, they're guilty. They are responsible for what they're doing because they got a law upon their heart. We're not alleviating their guilt, but we're saying that's not the first approach you make to them by clubbing them over the head like that, brutally. Mm-hmm. You have to. You can still let them know that they're immodest in a nice way, without and showing them that you love them at the same time. If they think that you, if you see that you're coming at them with this condescension, and the other thing happens too, you got to watch out for this. The person. I call this a Jansenistic Puritan on the right. As much as they try to be overly puritanical, they fall into the most horrible sins of secret lust.
Yeah, right.
I say secret because they hide it from everybody and they become very ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Because it's ugly to them. They go, how could they fall into this? Because you're full of lust yourself because of your pride.
Yeah.
Well, because you've gone so far on the right with these scruples that God said, because you're condescending and you're that Pharisee, look at Lord how good I am and how bad he is. Oh, you're that good? Tonight I'm going to let a devil lust hit you.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you how good you are. Yeah. And that person who thinks he's so good, yeah, once he gets despoiled by a bad, lustful experience that God allows to happen to him, he almost goes into despair and kills himself because it's so disgusting to him. He feels like, how could this have happened to me? I'm Superman. I'm the greatest. And God does that precisely to these people because they're making brutal judgments against these other people, condescending to them, and arrogate and looking at them as bugs or worms, and not as human beings that need to be loved and need to be saved. And when God sees the guy looking at people like that, he goes, how dare you, you bum? I cleaned you up, and now you're looking at them. I didn't look at you like that. I loved you. Now you're looking at that person like a bug. You're not loving them. You're not really loving them. You're condescending to that person. And then God lets that devil of lust come into these self-righteous, puritanistical, Jansenistic Pharisees. And boy, it devastates them when it happens. And what happens to them too? This is how the God lets that devil of lust get into them. The guy on the right, he goes into the store and he's looking for it. He's looking for immodesty. He's really, he wants to look at it. It's really his own secret lust. And he starts looking at that woman more than he even should. And he starts staring at her because he's full of lust. And then because he gets embarrassed because of his own lust, because he looked at her too long, he rails at her. You dirty pig, the harlot, he's angry at her, he goes overboard with her because he's of his own lust. What do I say happened? When I see a woman who's dressed in modest in the town, and really bad, the devil gets you a glance on it because they're all around you, I turn away immediately, I go, get away from me, devil, you dirty devil, you pig, and I keep walking. I don't think, I just keep walking.
Yeah.
I don't dwell upon it.
Yeah.
I don't let my mind fly with it. If your mind starts going with it and you dwell on it and you're going with it, you're full of forget it.
Yeah.
Get away from me, you dirty pig, you dirty devil, and keep walking.
Yeah, right.
That's it. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
Don't make out more than it is.
Right.
Don't, you can look at that woman, start looking at her and then gaze on her and stare on her, and then you're already committing lust yourself secretly, you don't know it, and then you go up because you got angry of your own weakness, you go up to her and you start blasting her. Because you fell, because of your weakness, you know. Yes, she's got lust. She's like, what do you expect? We're living in a world where they're all pigs. We're no different than in the African jungles when they're running around naked. That's where we are. Okay, you're not going to go first up to those people and club them over the head with this. You have to ease them into it. You have to talk to them about the faith first. You can say the very same thing to the person nicely. Because people should never be approached brutally unless there's a reason for it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Unless they're brutal.
Yeah, right.
If a person is brutal and he's obstinate and he's nasty, he needs to be slammed down hard. And that's why a lot of my tapes, when I talk, I'm directed towards the major blasphemers. They need to be slammed down hard. That's fine. But they have to be exhibiting some obstinacy. They have to be raising up the tenor so that you have to then shut them down. You got two ways. You go up to the woman and you do the wrong thing, and you're trying to convert her, and you go, you disgusting, lust-filled pig. Oh, yeah, you're going to get real far with that one. What are you doing here? You're provoking the person. You don't want to convert that person. You're actually chasing them away. You're actually saying, I don't really want to convert you. I want to confirm you in your sin and get you away from me. You're doing the absolute opposite.
Yeah, right.
That is not converting that person. That is nasty, lousy, false, and I look at that person worse than the person he's rebuking.
Exactly.
Now, you can go up to that person and go, hey, ma'am, I'd like to just mention something to you. Like little Ryan even said, you know, you're offending God because you're not really, now you may not know it. I'm not saying this because I hate you. I'm saying this because I really do love you. I really do. Don't dress like that because you incite lust in other men and other people. And people, now they'll still get angry at you when you say that, a lot of people, even that. But who cares about that? But that's the proper approach.
Right, right. Exactly.
Because really, you know what? Most people will not even get any. They'll sit back and say, you know, well, that's what you believe, but that's not what I believe.
Yeah, right.
And you know, but at least that's the proper approach.
Yeah, right.
Because the person is going up and they're knowing that you love them, that you care about them, that you're not condescending, you're not a self-righteous Pharisee, and at the same time you are telling them mm-hmm. that this is not good. This is immodesty. This is lust. This is a devil. And when you do this, you bring devils into your life and you talk to them nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a big difference between that and then going up and saying, you disgusting, dirty, lust-filled pig, take a look at you, you know? What is that all about?
Yeah, right.
What is that all about? That is the falsest, phony baloney. That is so uncharitable, that is so nasty. And I'm not over here condoning that type of lifestyle. Now, if the harlot starts raising her voice up and she's really bad and nasty and she's a real pig, foul mouth, and she's really, then you got to shut her down.
Yeah, right,
then
right.
You could say that.
Yeah.
There is a time when you could say you're a lustful pig or you're a harlot. You know, you could do that. If they're obstinate, if they're arrogant, if they're rabble-rousing the rest of the town and they're gang leaders and they're really the homos that are flaunting it out in the streets and going, doing all this, you can shoot them down and say, you can as loud as you want. You're a bunch of lustful pigs and all. You can do that to them. But what it has to do, our first approach, even to them, for anybody, you're doing that to them, though. And why are you doing that to them? Because they have put themselves so disdainfully above God, they're not even listening to anything you got to say. They're making public mockery out of God, and you then have to shoot them down, even for their own good. Because a person like that can only be dealt with on the terms in which where he is. So my point is, the idea when we're going up to these sinners, the first thing you got to look at the person is, he's sick. He's a sinner. You were a sinner at one time yourself. By the grace of God, there goes I. So our job is to go up there and convert them, not to provoke them. Now, a lot of my speeches, people may say, oh, I'm not provoking people. When I give my hard speeches, and when you give a public speech like that, that I give out to everybody, I'm directing myself towards the worst elements in the hierarchy that are blaspheming God, and they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, and your average person, I notice, is even sinners who are of goodwill, they like to hear that. They want to hear that. They need to hear that. But the point is, when you're talking to people one-on-one, wait, I want to convert a Jew, right? And I go up to the Jew, and I say, you dirty pig Jew, you slob, you kike, you know, whatever. You use racial slurs and everything. Where is that? And that's why racial slurs even are forbidden. Nobody's evil because of his race, you know. So Catholics are not allowed. If you use a racial slur, it's a mortal sin. You're assassinating the whole race. But how am I going to convert a Jew like that? How? You know, it's bad. Now, the arrogant Jew, like a Wiesenthal, that's really blaspheming God, I'm going to rack that guy. But when I, even if I met him, even if he came here, Abraham Foxman, I don't care who he is, if he knocked on my door, I would invite him in, I would talk to him nicely. I really would. I'd say, look, I'm glad you came to me. I says, we got to talk. I says, you're doing some really bad things. You know, you're an enemy of Christ, and you're one of his worst enemies. Why are you doing this? You're a Jew. He's a Jew. You should believe in him. Come on in and let me talk to you. And that, you know, but because if you really want to convert the guy, you want to get him. He's here. I got him. He's in there. I got a chance to talk to him.
Right, right.
I got a chance to try to convert him. Well, my the whole thing here, our Lord's talking about, the self-righteous Pharisee, look, he's eating with sinners. Well, how else are you going to convert him?
Why?
How? Jesus Christ came down to a sinful world and dwelt and lived amongst the whole world of rotten sinners. And he's God Almighty. In a sense, you could say Jesus came down to eat and to dwell with a whole, in the midst of a whole world of sinners except Mary. Even Joseph had original sin in which he had to be. But the Holy Family was a happy family. But still, compared to heaven, where he's coming to. So the whole world was steeped in sin. And God himself came down in a dirty, ugly, sinful world, took on all the burdens, and we are, if we think that we're becoming so good that we can't go out there and be passionate to convert sinners, what kind of Catholics are we? How is this behaving like your Father in heaven, he says. Behave like your Father does in heaven. Imitate me. What did I do? I went out to save sinners. I went out there to save them, not to provoke them, not to make them worse, not to go around and say, look how great I am. I'm not doing those sins. Well, it's very hard for me to do that because I know I've committed those sins. All God, if I ever got like that, all God's got to do is go back and bring me back and let me think about some of the things I did. And boy, that humbles me in 2 seconds. And he says, Rich, what happens if I didn't go before you? You're nothing. All right. And so you wouldn't be where you are today. Now, Yes, our job is to prove to these people, I'm here to tell you that I was like you 20 years ago. And this is what Jesus did for me. He cleaned me up. I want to give you this gift. I'm not saying this because I hate you or because I think I'm better than you. At this time I am, yes, better than you, but only for one reason. By God's grace. And then I cooperated with it. And I want to give you that gift. And that's the way you'll talk to him. And he looks at you and says, you were like me? Yes, look at me now. You mean I can become like you? Yes, you could. You were committing all sins I committed? I did. You mean if I listen to what you tell me, I can be like you are now? Yes, you could. You see? You could be pure. You could be holy. You could be sinless. You could be happy. It's a miracle of God. And it's our thing to go out and then give them that gift with that attitude that this person needs to be brought into the church. He needs to be brought to God. And woe to us. That's my main thing here, is when we become like a self-righteous Pharisee. And that doesn't mean we're condoning sins or not. We're telling people when they come in. Now, the next stage is when they come into the church, then when they become catechumens, they are told, okay, that you're cooperating with God's grace this far, I must tell you now that when you come into the church and you become a catechumen, you are now under a whole new set of rules. All the rules change. All the rules that you had before this, the sinful rules and all that, forget them. Because the Catholic Church, in order for you to become like us, and to become holy, you've got to obey rules. You are now under the jurisdiction of God. You are under the subjection to His church. You are under stricter rules than you were before, but these are the very rules that are going to cure you. And that if you break these rules, then we're going to treat you much more severely than when you were a pagan. Because now that you're coming into the church, you're going to be required to do all this. If you don't think you can do it, if you're not ready, then I will tell you, then you have no chance to be saved yet. You better keep praying to God so you become ready. Because if you want to become holy, which is what we offered you, and you decide to become Catholic, that's why the church took so long of preparing catechumens and really put them up before a tribunal and said, you got to prove to us. Now you're under stricter rules. Now you got to dress modest. Now you got to do this. Now we can rail on an immodest Catholic right away. Once they're Catholic, when they're coming in, we give them the rule. That's it. You wear a dress. It's done. You don't do it. You ain't even Catholic. You're not coming in. So the rules change. Once the person's now in the church, they're under strict rules, and we have to judge them even more severely. St. Paul says, judge them. He says, you don't need to judge those who are without. They're already judged. They're unbelievers. They're on the road to hell. He says, but those who are within, judge most severely. Those who are Catholics. Because Catholics are then supposed to be beacons of light that go out and convert other people. And if you're not keeping your own house in order, and you're saying, these are the people that are beacons of light that are going to convert the harlots and the whores, and they're harlots and whores? I don't see no difference between the two of them. So that's how much more serious it is. So when we're talking about Catholics who are in obstinate mortal sins, they have to be treated very, very roughly. We still have to love them, though. But they have to be avoided. St. Paul says, don't even eat with them. See the difference? Our Lord Jesus says, eat with sinners. Yeah, but why does St. Paul say in 1 Corinthians 5:11, he says, if anybody's named a brother be a fornicator, or an idolater, or a drunkard, or a railer, or extortioner, with such a one, not so much as to even eat. Why? Because now they're Catholic. They know better. They've already been told. I always tell this a lot of times, too. When Jesus went to eat with sinners, he went to convert them also. Let's not make the mistake. He's not going here to socialize with them. Jesus does not socialize with non-Catholics and obstinate sinners. He will eat with them if he has a chance to convert them. But he would never go back to eat with them if they weren't listening to him. He has no purpose then to eat with them. That's another thing we always talk about. False charity. You got to eat with the sinner to convert him. So now you're actually socializing with him. I don't want that to happen. We talked about that in other sermons that you can go back and listen to that I have. But that's another trap from the devil. Where people want to they want to be in communion with harlots and they like their dirty conversation and their dirty company and they socialize with them. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went in there because he knew he had an opportunity to talk to them and convert them. And so he went to eat with the sinner to convert them. If the sinner didn't listen and he's obstinate, you raise the tone up now a couple notches. Well, now I warned you. I told you. I've done what I can do. And I will tell you again, you are on the road of hell and you will be damned on judgment day. If you don't listen to what I told you, all I can do now is pray for your soul. I will no longer eat with you until you're willing to listen to me again. And that's it. So the devil can get you on both sides with this. See, the Catholic Church is a perfect balance. You don't go to the right, you don't go to the left. The devil, like we read in the epistles, a roaring lion goes about seeking whom he might devour. He'll get you out on false charity, or he'll get you out on harshness. And both of it's false charity. It's false charity on both sides. And you got to be very careful to go not to go out on the left, too liberal, or on the right, too strict. And each place will take you out of the church, and you're equally sinful in the eyes of God. But the main thing during this sermon I want to get across is an over-harshness towards sinners. That doesn't mean, and let's not fall into the trap, of being overly friendly, neither. Mm-hmm. I always say this, don't be socially friendly with sinners. All people I say in town, for instance, just a little something here. If somebody's walking by you and they say hello to you, say hi to them back. Show them that, you know, hi. You don't have to talk. Just say, hi, have a good day. I always do that. I try to avoid them if I could, but I don't let them see I'm avoiding them. You know, and I told you, if they're like two blocks ahead and I got a block to turn, but if I got to pass them, and if I look, I always say, hey, I say, how you doing? You know, oh, how you doing? How you doing? Especially if somebody says hello to you and you don't say hello back. What is that all about? They're going to look at you, who is this guy? Does he think he's all God Almighty? Who does he think he is? I'm dirt? That's a horrible thing if you don't do that. Now, I'm not saying to say hello to everybody, but when the person approaches you and he says hello, a little hello ain't going to kill you. Hello, have a good day, sir. I always say that. How you doing, sir? Have a good day. How you doing, man? Have a good day. Yeah, I always do that. And if they want to talk to me, I talk to them. If they come up to me, if it's God's will, I try to avoid them, but I don't even let them know I'm trying to avoid them. What I mean is, if you're walking down a block and he's walking down a block and it's one block and you got nowhere to turn, don't turn around. He'll see you're avoiding him. Walk by him and say hello to him. If you say, I even say first, I catch their eyes, see if they're looking at me. If they're not looking at me, I don't say anything. If they're looking, if there I go, how you doing, sir? Have a good day. You too, sir. Have a good day. Don't kid you. Something like that could convert a man. You think not? Hey, that guy's a nice guy. What does our Lord say about even a poor man? He says, if he really needs money, he's a poor man. Give him a couple bucks. He'll bless you. He'll like you. He'll say he's a nice guy. Or you know, he's going to say you're a skinflint. You're stingy. You're not charitable. And our Lord says, and his prayer will come before God, and God will say the prayer is true. You are stingy. So in other words, we'll converse people as these little things. And these little things you don't think are big, if you don't say hello, is what makes the person look at you like, these people, who do they think they're holier than thou? Then you're going to really come across as a self-righteous Pharisee. You've done a big disservice to the Catholic God. Now, I'm not saying going around say go out of your way to say hello to them. I have to be walking by them and they're looking at them. I'm not going to. And then there's a big difference between common courtesy, which even pagans have, and socializing with people. Those two things aren't the same. That's why St. John even says there are strictures in the church where you won't even talk to a guy if he's real bad. They call that vitandus.
Right.
You can even talk to him. If a guy's committing adultery, he's vitandus. Only his family can talk to him in necessary matters. Nobody else can even talk or do business with him. That's proper.
Yeah.
See, so we're looking about eating with sinners, treating sinners, and all different levels and types of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're subjected to the church, that's the rule we're talking about. You're a catechumen or you're a Catholic, now you're under different rules here, pal. Now you're under strict observation. We don't play games now. You're in God's home now. The way God's home becomes holy and stays holy is because we have rules that you must now obey. You admitted when I spoke to you as a pagan that you were living in reprobation and you wanted to become holy and sinless like you see us living. How do you think that happens? Not by osmosis. It's by God's grace and it's by your cooperation. And you have to cooperate and obey these laws. So there's stricter laws down on Catholics. And then the church would look. If a guy's of goodwill, he'll start making probes for intercessions. They'll come to somebody and start asking questions. But the whole idea, we'll end it right here. The main thing in this sermon I want to get across on this point, because this is a really important topic. We've talked about it a lot before on how to treat people. And different types of people, you got to look at who you're dealing with. Is he Catholic? Is he a catechumen? Is he a non-Catholic? Let's just lump the catechumen in with the Catholic, because it's the same category. Who wants to be, he's subjecting himself to the church. And the non-Catholic, two different categories. And also, don't be fooled by a false charity, and because you want to be with sinners, you say, well, I'm eating with sinners because I'm converting them, but you're really not. They're converting you.
Yeah, right.
Be careful of that. And be careful of a condescension, pharisaical attitude towards sinners, where you're actually going out there and provoking them and clubbing them over the head. Wait, today we're living in the worst, most evilest, disgusting times. There's evil all around you. What are you going to go? You want to go out and convert to people, you're going to go out there, you pig, you harlot, you whore, you slut, you this, you that. You ain't going to convert them that way anyway. Yes, it's true that's the way it is. But this is the world God put us in. Our job is to convert them and show them we love them. At the same time, yes, rebuke what they're doing. But charitably, with the mind that you want to convert them with this. You could still tell them it's not right, but as I just showed you in this sermon, the right way to do it and the wrong way. As much as you hear me talking as I think one of his confessions today said the guy used to really blast from the pulpit, but when he was in confession, he was like a lamb. Mm-hmm. Well, my point is, when you're dealing with people one-on-one, you got to always go there with the intention of, I don't want to provoke this person, I love this person, I want to convert them, and I always do that. I don't care, as rough as I talk on my sermons, because they're directed towards the obstinate elements, and people like that, even your average person who sits down. The goodwill people. Most people don't like them. I mean, goodwill people like it because they need to be forcibly told what's true or not. But when you're talking to a person one-on-one, you're in a different arena. Mm-hmm. You got to look at that person, as you were saying before. You got to understand where is he coming from and how you're going to deal with that person. Now, even within that conversation, if he starts raising it up and getting nasty, then you raise it.
Right, exactly.
You let him do it first.
Yeah, right.
Then you show him. If he starts, it's a power struggle where he's trying to force his pagan god and his immorality on you and justify it, and he's raising his voice up and other people, then you raise up.
Right.
Then you could.
Yeah.
Then you have to.
Right.
Because you gotta butt his head. Your head is stronger than his. Our Lord says, I'm going to make your forehead like a wall of brass, and no one's going to be able to stand up against you. So if an obstinate sinner starts to raise up his voice, and other people, because what he's doing is he's asserting his sinful authority over your authority, and he wants people to hear it. He wants to win the day. When that happens, then you got to raise it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a Jew come in once and he got real nasty. When he did, I raised it up, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I raised it up to him. I said, you apostate Christ denying Jew, take your the money and get out of here. I told you about the story. I said, get out of here and don't come back. I said, you know, then I raised it up with him because he started getting vocal, blasphemous, and loud.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never the way. You're going to have to raise it up first, not me. The person's going to have to give me a reason. You know, and then I have to do it because I got to show you my God's more powerful than your God. You want to raise your voice for your false God? I'm going to raise mine louder for my God. And I'm going to outshout you if I have to. So everybody hears my voice over yours. You know, that's when you have to do that. But when you meet, that only happens if that person is doing that. But you really want to go up and converse somebody, you don't do it by clubbing them over the head. You don't go up there by, what is that anyway? But they're going to look at you like, this guy's just, the person, he's going to be afraid to approach you even. This is Jansenism. Jansenists were like that. People even became afraid to go in and confess their sins because the Jansenist is going to rack them over the head and you're sitting there and start railing them in the confessional. You know? And then what is that but the fact, look how good I am, Lord. Now you get a guy really who got to that point, then God's going to let that guy fall into the most shameful sins. And he's not going to tell nobody because he's ashamed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the very kind of guy that could go into total despair and lose the faith altogether. Because he doesn't know how that could happen to him. God lets that happen to people like that. That's why you say, how could the very Puritan who overdresses too much modest, they go too far, they're scrupulous about everything, you go, how could that person fall into lust? They're extra. Precisely. Because it proves that they can, one last example on that, you could cover yourself up as much as you want. But if your mind has lust in it, you can't prevent that. You could look at a woman who's dressed in most perfect modesty and think dirty things about her, if you want. And she's not doing anything to provoke it. It's your own dirty, filthy, stinking mind. You can watch a movie that's censored, edited, it's a perfect movie. And a husband and wife are getting married. And you see them getting married. And your mind could go towards things that are happening after the marriage. Your mind can do that. The movie's not provoking that in you. A scrupulous person will do that. And they'll start thinking dirty things. They'll look at the most modestly dressed person and start thinking dirty things. When your mind's that is something that goes beyond even dress. That's your own mind. That you're full of lust. God put a lust demon in you. And then that person starts getting angry. He says, "Well, I'm from that movie. What was bad about that movie? I didn't see nothing bad in it. There really wasn't anything bad. His mind was going further.
Mm-hmm.
He was going further in his mind. The movie had no reason to provoke that in him. But that scrupulous person, when he walks around town, he sees that wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
He what's he doing? He's entertaining dirty thoughts. He wants to have it.
Yeah.
If he looks at a woman who's told, and he starts thinking beyond that. That's the dirty, that's what happens to the Jansenist, the Puritan. They're full of lust. And they try to cover it, they try to hide it, and then they strike out against the person because they're angry because of their own weakness. And that's a whole other element in itself. The liberal on the left, he's probably even better off because he just comes right out and blurts it out. And he's not trying to hide it. He doesn't have the additional sin that the Pharisee guy does on the right,
mm-hmm.
of condescension. Because I still think that Pharisaical thing is absolutely the worst sin of all.
Yeah,
so in other words, let's just be very careful on how we're dealing with these people, and also to know how to deal with them and how not to do it. And always know that if you want to convert the person, you're not going to go into the store where you got I mean, if where you're working, for instance, you'd be rebuking everybody that comes in the store. Hey, you could be calling your manager. Hey, she's immodest. Kick her out. Why are you letting her kick her out? I mean, you'll kick the whole store out, all the cashiers and everybody. You'll be the only one left, Will, and maybe two or three other people.
I know.
You're living in Babylon.
Yeah.
That's not even practical.
No.
And that's expecting somebody to go from point A to point Z before you can get in the Catholic faith.
Yeah, right,
exactly. And that's arrogancy.
Yeah, it is.
So we got to be careful on all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.